his arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the gospel writings of Matthew. We are going through the book of Matthew, and we are in chapter 11. We're using the New King James Version. So we are in chapter 11. The last time we stopped at verse 15, where Jesus was speaking and he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So Jesus was saying, those who have ears to hear the message of the kingdom should hear and obey his words. And people of God, the Lord is calling us not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers. So we need to obey what Jesus says. So we are going to pray and begin. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for this another privilege to bring forth your word. We just thank you, O God, for your people who have taken the time out to hear your word. And we pray in the name of Jesus that they will not just be hearers, O God, but doers of your word. We pray, O God, that your word will come and it will pierce our hearts, O God, bringing forth change. Lord, we look to you this evening. Of ourselves, we can do nothing. So we come relying upon you, mighty God. Holy Spirit of God, illuminate your word to us, O God Almighty, so that your word, O God, will be that lamp to our feet and that light to our path, O God. Your word will prevent us from stumbling along this journey. So we pray right now as your word comes forth, O God, we will adhere to your word, O God. We will obey your word and live the life, O God Almighty, Lord, that truly counts. A new life in you, Jesus. You're calling us up higher to live that life. And we pray by the power of your spirit that you will take us to that place in you, O God, where we will be stabilized in you, walking by faith and not by sight. Father, we just thank you again for your word. Your word, O God Almighty, which comes to bring faith to our hearts, O God. For faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. So we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. For you alone are God, worthy of praise, worthy of glory and honor. And we bless your name forever. In the name of Jesus we pray. And we say amen and amen. Bless God. So we see Jesus as he was speaking here. He spoke of John the Baptist. John the Baptist had sent to ask him, "Are you the one that should come or should we look for another?" When John was in prison, we see that he was under such stress and strain of being imprisoned for something that he did not really do. He did not commit a crime, but he was in prison. So he sent to ask Jesus, and Jesus sent back to tell him of all the wonderful works that he's doing. And Jesus was there commending John. He commended John. There was none born of woman who was like John the Baptist. And he was speaking that all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. So John came. And he closed off the old and commenced the new covenant. So we see all the Old Testament prophecies and laws, they were up until the last book of the Old Testament, which was Malachi. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And we see where John came in into the New Testament to herald in the Messiah. He is the messenger that the Old Testament spoke about, that would herald in the coming Messiah. So John the Baptist came. Jesus said in verse 14 of Matthew 11, he came in the spirit of Elijah. So we see that Jesus said, and if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. So Jesus was saying that John the Baptist came in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. So Jesus was saying in verse 15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So we, people of God who have ears to hear, we who are hearing the good news must hear and obey what Jesus is saying. So we are going to go to Matthew 11, verse 16. Matthew 11, 16. And the word said, "But to what shall I liken this generation?" Jesus speaking. "It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions." Look at verse 17. "And saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. So what Jesus was saying, that he perceived that generation like children who were play acting. They were play acting. And what happened is that these Jewish children would use their playtime to act out certain things like weddings and funerals. So this is what they were doing then. And Jesus was saying that we shouldn't be like these children who are play acting. So these children would come and they would play the flute, and that signifies a wedding. So they would act out a wedding and they would mourn. They would act out a funeral. That's what they use their pastime to do. So Jesus was saying that we shouldn't be like those little children who are play acting, but we should be mature people of God, mature in the faith, mature in the kingdom, who are serious about the things of God. We want to be people of understanding, who is aware of the time that we are living in. It is not time to be behaving like little spoiled children, people of God, but we are called to grow up in Christ. We are called to reach a stage of maturity in him where we can manifest his kingdom, where we can show forth his glory and his praise. So we can't be going around behaving like little children, play acting, not serious about the kingdom of God, not serious about what God has called us to do. But we can't be going around like them. So Jesus was saying that's how he saw that generation then. And people of God, I believe if he looks on us now, he would say the same thing about many of us, that many of us are play acting. We are not doing the real thing. We are just playing around. But God is saying, wise up, wake up, church of God, and be serious about the things of God. We are living in serious times, people of God, and we are called to go forth with the mandate of bringing the good news to those that we come in contact with. So it's not time to be joking around. It's not time to be play acting. It's not time to be behaving like spoiled children. But we are to grow up in Christ and mature in him. Look at what the word said in Matthew 11, verse 18. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he had a demon. So what Jesus was saying, it doesn't matter how you try to live this Christian life and you try to live right, people will speak about you. Look at John the Baptist. He was separated from those people. He never used to eat and drink with any of them. But yet still they called him. They say that he had a demon. So when people can't understand you, when people don't understand what God is doing through you, they will say all manner of evil against you. So people of God, we have to come to be aware of these things. So Jesus was saying, John came. Neither eating nor drinking. They didn't see him eating any of their type of food or drinking. But they said he had a demon. And look at what Jesus said in verse 19 of Matthew 11. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, speaking of himself. He said, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. People of God, Jesus said, I came eating and drinking. I was there. I move among the people and I eat and drink with them. They call me a glutton. They call me a wine bibber. They say I'm a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Because what Jesus would move among the ordinary people, Jesus came to seek and to save those which are lost. So people of God, Jesus didn't just spend his time sitting in the synagogue at all times. No, he would go in there on the Sabbath, of course. But he wasn't there just going around and being among the religious people. No, he was going to those who really needed the Savior. He would go to the sinners and the tax collectors, the ordinary people. And those were the ones who received Jesus. We see where the religious people did not receive him. So they would call him a glutton and they call him a wine bibber, friends of tax collectors and sinners. But look at what Jesus said, but wisdom is justified by her children. What was Jesus saying there? He's saying your fruit which you produce will declare your wisdom. What is your life manifesting? That's a question I'm asking now. What is your life manifesting? Have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation? People of God, Jesus himself is wisdom personified. And he's calling everyone to come to him and reap eternal life. Proverbs 11:30 tells us, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he who wins soul is wise. So wisdom is justified by her children. What are you producing in your life? Are you going forth and bringing forth fruits of righteousness? Are you winning souls into the kingdom? Those who win souls, the wise man Solomon said, is wise. So we have to come to understand that Jesus is calling us, people of God, to bear fruit. Your fruit will declare your wisdom. So what are we bearing? What are we manifesting in our lives? Is our lives manifesting Christ Jesus? Are we soul winners? We pray today that we will stop and look into our lives and come to the place where we understand that we are called to go and to be soul winners in the kingdom. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Look on Matthew 11, verse 20. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. So look at verse 21. He said, woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. So we see, people of God, Jesus did most of his mighty works along the Galilean region. And these cities were cities of Galilee, Chorazin and Bethesda. So we see, people of God, where Jesus did most of his mighty works in these cities. But they did not repent. Even though they see all those great works done, they did not repent. So we are going to look at just one of Jesus' work in Bethesda. We don't see much written about Chorazin and the work that he did, but we see here about Bethesda. Let us turn to Mark 8, Mark 8, 22 through 26. Mark 8, 22 through 26. And the word of God said, then he came to Bethesda, and they found a blind man, and they brought a blind man to him. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like tree walking. Then he put his hand on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. So we see, people of God, Jesus, this was one of Jesus' miracle in Bethsaida. So we see Jesus saying that if those mighty works that he had done in these cities were done in Tyre and Sidon, then, people of God, those cities would have repented long ago. And look at verse 22. Jesus said, but I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. So we see that most of Jesus' ministry, as I said before, was in the Galilean region, Chorazin, Bethesda. They heard the gospel of the kingdom and saw many great miracles, but refused to repent. So Jesus rebuked them and told them that if the Gentile nations or the Gentile cities of Tyre and Sidon had seen all these mighty works that he did, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes, which is a sign of deep remorse and brokenness. They would be broken up before God and they would have repented. But Jesus was saying that the judgment on these Jewish cities that refused him would be greater than that of the Gentile cities of Tyre and Sidon. So people of God, Jesus is saying those that he came to in person and gave them the message of the kingdom and showed them so many great miracles, and they failed to believe, they failed to repent. What he's saying, stricter judgment will come upon them, greater judgment will come upon those people who heard and had the opportunity to repent and did not repent. So it would be better off for the Gentile cities, Gentile nations who did not have all those mighty works done in them than those who heard it and refused to repent. So people of God, when we hear the word of God, when revelation of who Christ is comes to us, it's for us to change in those areas. It's for us to repent, to turn from our wicked ways. Look at verse 23 of Matthew 11. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done to you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. People of God, Jesus also rebuked Capernaum. This place was his headquarters. He resided here in Capernaum for over a year and did many mighty miracles right there in Capernaum, but they did not repent. And we see, people of God, in Matthew 4:13, he told us that Jesus, leaving Nazareth, came and dwelt in Capernaum. That was his dwelling place for a long time. That's where he lived. That's where people would be brought to him and he would heal. So much healing went on in Capernaum, people of God. And if you can read these scriptures, you can read in Mark 1:21 through 34. We see so many of Jesus' miracles done right there in Capernaum. And also in Mark 2, we see he was in Capernaum at that time when those four men brought their friends on his bed and let him down through the roof. We see, people of God, these were great and mighty works that were done in Capernaum, but they refused to repent. So Jesus said they had exalted themselves, but will be brought down to hell. Jesus was saying that if these mighty works that were done in Capernaum was done in Sodom, it would not have been destroyed. And we remember, people of God, what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. They were destroyed. That city was destroyed by fire, people of God, because of the wickedness that was in that city. But Jesus was saying if they had gotten all these warnings and these words and they saw all these miracles, they would have repented. But Capernaum, who had the Messiah living with them for over a year and doing all these mighty works, refused to repent. So Jesus says it would be better for them. It would be better for Sodom than for this city who refused him. Look at verse 24 of Matthew 11. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for Capernaum. To receive the revelation of Jesus, people of God, and turn our backs on him will cause more severe punishment than those who did not receive the message and the revelation of Christ. So people of God, Jesus was saying all of what Capernaum received from him, and they just turned their back on it. They did not repent. They did not turn to him. But he said it would be better for Sodom during the time of judgment. It's going to be more tolerable for Sodom than for Capernaum, who refused the Messiah, who was with them, who lived with them, and who did all those mighty works among them. So Jesus is saying to us, people of God, let us hear his word and purpose in our hearts to repent. Purpose in our hearts to turn from our evil ways. Purpose in our hearts to live the life that is truly exemplifying Christ in every area. So we want to be people who hear God's word and practice it. We don't want to be those who just hear and turn our backs on what we hear. But we want to be people who practice God's word. Look at verse 25 of Matthew 11. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. So Jesus was giving thanks to God for hiding these things from the wise and prudent, because many people of God, many of those people in the Old Testament were looking for the Messiah and would have loved to see him in person on earth. They would have loved to see him doing all these mighty works, but they did not. So all of these things that Jesus did were hidden from those wise and prudent men of old, but now have been revealed to babes. Jesus called them babes because they are now so young in the faith and immature, but they have seen things that many of those wise and prudent men of old did not see. So we see people like that. When Jesus revealed himself to us, he's calling us to change. He's calling us to grow up. He's calling us to mature because of what he has revealed to us. So look at verse 26 of Matthew 11. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. So Jesus was praying to the Father, and he said, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Look at verse 27 of Matthew 11. Jesus continued, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So people of God, Jesus was saying, my Father knows me and I know him. And you can only know the Father if I reveal him to you. So no one can know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son will reveal him. So people of God, for us to really know God, he has to be revealed to us. Jesus has to be revealed to us. Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. The Holy Spirit is here to reveal Jesus to us. Look at John 1:18. No one has seen God at any time. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So no one has seen God the Father at any time. But Jesus, the only begotten Son, who came from the heart of the Father, he has come to declare him. So Jesus is the one who declared the Father. He declared the love of the Father for us. He declared the compassion of the Father for us. He declared how merciful the Father is to us. He declared, people of God, the goodness of the Father to us. He declared all the attributes of the Father to us. So if we know Jesus, we know the Father. He has declared him. Look on John 3:13. John 3:13 said, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. So people of God, only Jesus who came down from heaven can truly declare the Father to us. He is a special revelation of the Father to us. He is the one who revealed the Father to us. He is a living word, and we have the written word, the revelation of the Father to us. So people of God, we have no excuse but to accept God's word, to believe God's word, and to trust in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 28 of Matthew 11. Jesus continued to speak as he's speaking to us today. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. People of God, the gospel call is to come. Come to Jesus. That's the gospel call. Come to Jesus. And Jesus is saying to us today, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus at that time was speaking to that Jewish community of people, and he was calling them to come to him. To come to him and to lay their heavy burden on him. They were laboring and they were heavy laden. They were frustrated in trying to live the law by themselves. But Jesus Christ has come to give them rest. And I will give you rest. Your rest is in me. Not in trying to keep the laws. Not in trying to do good works. Your rest is found in me. That's what Christ was saying. I will give you rest. Look at verse 29. He said, take my yoke upon you. Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So Jesus keep repeating this rest. There is a rest for the people of God, and that rest is in Christ Jesus. Take my yoke upon you. take my teachings, take my doctrine upon you, and learn from me. Learn from me, Jesus was saying. Learn humility. Learn meekness. Learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. People of God, when we learn Jesus, when we learn him, when we come to know him personally, when we come into that intimate relationship with him, people of God, then we find that sweet rest for our souls. We find that settled place in him. He wants us to come to that settled place in him, a place of tranquility, a place of resting in who he is, a place of resting in the finished work at the cross. He's calling us to that place of rest, children of God. Will we come to him and find that rest? Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And people of God, when we are trying in human effort to please God, we are going to be heavy laden. We are going to be frustrated on the journey, because people of God, only when we find that sweet rest in Christ Jesus, only when we come to trust him wholeheartedly, only when we come, people of God, to put our faith in him and resting in his promises, then we surely will find that sweet rest for our souls, that settled place in him. His word said, abide in me and let my words abide in you. Then you ask what you will and it shall be done. So people of God, we are called to that place in him. We are called to yoke ourselves to him. We are called, people of God, to link to Jesus, to be united in him. People of God, we are called to be harnessed to him in such a way that nothing will move us. So we are called to take up his doctrine, take up his teaching upon us, and learn from him. For he said, I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. People of God, we need soul rest. We need soul rest. The psalmist cry out, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. And we have to come to that place of understanding, people of God, that our rest is in Christ Jesus. Our hope is in him. So he's calling us to find that sweet rest for our souls. Many of us, our souls are in turmoil, but the Lord is calling us to find that sweet place of rest in Christ Jesus. That settled place in him. We have to settle in him, children of God. We are up and about and all over the places, but we have to find that resting place in him. And that's where he's calling us. Look at verse 30 of Matthew 11. That's the last verse in Matthew 11. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So people of God, the Lord is calling us to understand his yoke is easy. His doctrine, his teaching is easy and his burden is light. So people of God, we will continue from there. Next week, we have come to the end of our session for this week, and we are going to pray at this time. Father, we thank you again for your word to us. We thank you that you're calling us to come to you and to find that sweet rest for our souls. We bless and honor and give you glory as we look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful weekend and blessings to all. Amen and amen. In the Lord is
love. Reproofs of instruction. Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.